Welcome to ADHD is Over, a new podcast on a seemingly old label that we're going to be peeling off. Join my wife, Tatiana, and I as we journey with our family, the Wyden family, through the land of confusing information. We're going to visit both sides and let you decide because the power is with you. Welcome to ADHD is Over.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm excited to announce that we have a new sponsor, Zero, Z-H-E-R-O. Zero is a hyper-focus and clean energy drink. It's a powder that I've had the pleasure to, I call it, test drive. Guess what? I love it. And I mean that. I mean, really, I'm going to be honest with you. First of all, Zero has no sugar, no artificial nasties, no crash or jitters, zero calories, healthy vitamins, hydrating electrolytes, focus and energy nootropics, productivity and motivation nootropics. And you know what? It does improve alertness, I have to say. So I've tried it. It comes in two flavors. So there's two. There's a hyper focus in two flavors, right? One is the what I love. It's like the lemon mint. That's my favorite. And then there's the unflavored that I can put into smoothies. But my lemon mint, I put it in water and I just drink it in the morning. And it's best to do it on a, you know, empty stomach for best results. And let me tell you something. I used to drink coffee in the morning and it works for me, right? I can totally notice the boost. I can feel it. But there's a little jitteriness to it, especially on an empty stomach. And look, some people say, well, don't drink it on an empty stomach. Yeah, I get it, right? But still, this one, Zero, when I drink it, I feel, and they told me this at the beginning when I got shipped the product, they said it's very smooth. There's no jitters and there's no crash. And I'm here to say, yes, that is true. When I have my lemon mint in the morning, it kind of tastes like a mojito. You could even put it over ice. It's like a mocktail. And I will tell you that I do feel this sense of like, it's a smooth energy and a kind of a hyper focus, but not hyper. Maybe that's the wrong word. I call it a clear focus because I can get work done after I go for my morning hike. And I sort of transition from project to project or from email to email in a very smooth way. It used to be a little like almost agitated and like, okay, next, okay, next, okay, next. But with Zero, and again, I'll spell it for you. It's Z-H-E-R-O. Their website is zero.co. That's Z-H-E-R-O.co. And I'll have a link in the description. For me, Zero is the first energy drink, if you want to call it that, that actually doesn't make me feel like I'm on an energy drink. So enough said, go get yourself some Zero and let me know how you like it. Email me, let me know, try it out. And even though it's not legal in the UK, this is a UK company for children to drink it. If you have a child that's 18 plus, try it out. Have them try it as well. I mean, look, I'm just being kosher here. Lots of kids already are drinking energy drinks here and they're like 13, 14. So I'm not saying give it to your child, but I'd rather have you give them Zero than a Monster energy drink or a Red Bull, if you know what I mean. And it's actually almost three times cheaper than a Red Bull or getting a latte from Starbucks. So Zero is our sponsor, Z-H-E-R-O at zero.co. Check it out. All right, let's get into the episode. Labels, ADHD, ODD, HSP, PTSD, and the list continues, right? There's so many abbreviations, so many letters that are stuck together and that supposedly form now a disorder. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Well, as human beings, we like to label things. We like to be able to put things into boxes so that we feel a sense of control or safety, right? Almost like, okay, good. Now I know what we're dealing with here. Okay, good. The worst that I hear that still triggers me, and I hear it on an almost daily basis, is, now I know what's wrong with me. Because now I can take those three letters or four letters, and I can say, that's what's wrong with me. First of all, what's wrong, quote unquote, with that statement is that we have human beings that are literally looking for what's wrong with them. They have been, you know, basically trained to believe that there's something wrong with you. Now go figure out what it is. First of all, I'm here to say there's nothing wrong with anyone. Nothing. You may have challenges. You may be different than others, but there's never anything wrong with anyone. It reminds me, we used to have a swim coach when Kai was, I think, maybe 6 or 7. Maybe it was 7 or 8. And I would go watch, you know, I would hang out at the swim lessons. And once in a while, this really young, energetic coach would yell, "Kai, what's wrong with you?" Because maybe he was talking to a buddy. He wasn't paying attention, right? And at some point, I had to tell him and say, "Excuse me, can you not use that language? There's nothing wrong with my son." You could say something like, "Kai, can you please pay attention? You're talking again, or I'm going to kick you out of, you know, take you out of the water," whatever. But it was so it was unconscious, you know, in society. A lot of people do that. What's wrong with you? It's become like a saying. But we have to be more careful about the words we use. Words are, you know, create our reality. And when we raise children to believe that something's wrong with them, then they're going to be exactly the kind of kids that become adults that at some point go like, "You know what? I can't focus. I wonder what's wrong with me. Oh, now I ADHD. Now I know what's wrong with me. Okay, that's why I can't be powerful self. Got it." Well, I'm here to say that any of these labels are simply here to describe challenges one might have, right? ODD, oppositional defiant disorder, as Gabor Mate says, it's BS. Kids react to their environment. Kids actually revolt when there's something that's not right. They're like the check engine lights, right? That tell us, over here, it needs some fixing here. Something's going on I can't deal with. I don't know how to express myself other than to throw a tantrum or talk back to you, but something needs attention, right? So any of those disorders that we've created, they're really here to describe a challenge. The problem is we've actually now come to an agreement in society that these disorders, so-called disorders, are like a thing, like a tumor that you have. You know, when I hear people say, "I have ADHD," I go, "No, you don't. Nobody can have ADHD. You may behave in a certain way, right? Such that we then label that as a symptom and then call it a disorder, but you can't have it." And look, semantics, words are super important, especially in this case. I have people argue with me in a way that makes no sense because I can see that they're triggered, that they think what I'm saying is that there's nothing going on, that they're just lazy or they're just, you know, lying about it. That's not at all what I'm saying. I always say the struggle is real. The label doesn't have to be. And as a matter of fact, the label is going to be the most disempowering thing, because we're then going to go, "Well, that's why I can't pay attention. I have this thing. That's why I'm not doing well," right? It actually keeps us from ever living our full potential. And so, yes, I think labels, shorthand, whatever, medical, fine. But could we please create these labels and make them sound empowering? Does something like deficit and disorder sound empowering? I don't think so. So what's there to be lost, right? Why can't we just call it something that's empowering? And this is not an episode to brainstorm on what that would be, but you get the point here. All these labels are simply here as a shorthand, but the problem is we've been told that they're the actual disorder, right? What is a label, a description, a word that 12 to 14 so-called experts in the room voted on that should be considered as disorder without actual biological evidence, biomarkers, and that's a proven fact. I was said during an interview with one of the chairs of the DSM committee that said, when asked, well, how did you decide what's a disorder and what's not? And they said, well, we just voted on it. And the interviewer said, so there were no biological studies or actual studies that with biomarkers that would show that it's a disorder. They said, no, we voted on it. You can look that up on the interwebs. But the point here is that we are now told that you have this thing, this four-letter word has become a thing. Think about that. Like a tumor, it's become a thing. Those four letters that are actually just an abbreviation of these four words, attention, deficit, hyperactivity, disorder, those four letters, we've made it into a physical thing that people actually think, I have this in my brain. I mean, I'm not laughing at someone, I'm laughing with the logical thinkers here. Like, that makes no sense. You can't have it. What you do show is behaviors like, I have difficulty paying attention. Yes, I get that. I do too sometimes. Now let's figure out how come. And then the answer cannot be because I have ADHD. Because as we just established, it's not a thing. It's the description of your symptoms, of your behaviors. So when we then go beyond that non-logical, idiotic circle jerker, as I call it, when you go below that deeper and say, how come I can't focus? Now we're asking the right questions. And then if we go even deeper into our childhood, what happened in my childhood? Or what are some of the things in my environment that don't allow me to focus, to pay attention, whether it's the foods I eat or the distraction in my environment, the traumas I have in my life, right? There's so many things like the vision problems. There isn't one thing, but we just got to ask the right questions so we can start doing this process of elimination and really do the healing work for a child, right? Not just to go, oh, slap a label on it, give some medication. That's actually going to prolong the explosion that I call, you know, the emotional breakdowns, the stuff that's going to catch up with us as adults, where we suddenly are on medications and we can't feel our emotions and we have mental breakdowns and depression and anxiety and addictions and all that stuff. And we wonder why. Oh, well, it's because I have ADHD. Nope. That is not why. That is not why I'm here to say. And that goes for any of those other disorders that we unfortunately slap on our kids. Sometimes, you know, when my son got diagnosed at 7 years old, there were five labels put on him. Five labels, including ADHD, autism, dyslexia. And I look at my son today and I go, I don't see any of them. I see a person, a human that's still challenged with certain things like connecting to people, eye contact, you know, sometimes paying attention, sometimes being defined. That's called being a human being, a boy that's growing up to become a teenager, dealing with hormones, dealing with societal expectations, you know, stuff in the environment that they're struggling with, media, you know, screens and so forth. Look, all of that is part of life nowadays. And we can no longer hide behind a label or use it as a crutch and say, that's why. That's what's wrong with me. That's why I can't fully function. So now I need XYZ medication. I need the label. I need you to treat me different, whatever it is, right? There's no power in that. The only power comes from saying, oh, I have a challenge with something. Let me find out a wholesome and actually empowering way to deal with those challenges. And that's what our podcast is about. That's why I do this, because I've seen these, what we call alternative methods, and I hate that word, alternative methods work. And in the long run, long term, they are lasting. Unlike some of the other you know, claims that medication is going to fix a child with ADHD, it's not. In the long term, there are no studies beyond 3 years that actually can prove that that medication has long-lasting benefits and even academic benefits. After 3 years, it actually drops off. Now, they don't tell you that. They just take the first 3 years and say, well, studies say that there's academic benefits and academic improvement and blah, blah, blah. Not true, not in the long run. Now, when you look at a child's life and your child's 7 years old and you start medicating, 3 years is 10. Then what? Things get worse often. Kids get put on another medication. Now they can't sleep. Now they're suddenly depressed. They get anxiety medication. They're on Prozac. Kids like 12, 13 years old. Where's that going to go? When are they going to be encouraged, when I say they, the families, to actually address the real issues? Often the child then turns 18, moves out, and is on their own. And now they can't be emotionally available. They're still on medication. They're struggling in life. And they don't know why. And they go, well, it's because I have ADHD. Again, that's not why. So I'm inviting you to really question. Question anything you hear. Do your own homework. And I've done some great episodes with experts that are worth listening to. And I have some links to studies and videos and stuff. Please check it out. Browse around. And also send it to friends and family members if you think it could make a difference. That's why we do this. So that we don't slap labels on our kids and then write them off as problems. Write them off as the ones that are different, you know. I often hear people say, well, that's not, you know, we're all inclusive. And, you know, kids with ADHD are now included and they have their IED programs and they have their support and all that stuff. Yeah, but no, it's still a problem. They're still seen as like there's something wrong with them. And that's got to stop. I mean, I'm an advocate for that stopping, that we no longer use labels that are disempowering. And you can say whatever you want, but ADHD is not an empowering label, not at all. I know there's advocates out there who say it's empowering to finally be diagnosed and know what it is. Yeah, that's temporary. That's temporary. That ain't going to go well in the future, I can tell you that. Because look, and also as an adult, yeah, it's different. I know some adults who say, well, once I turned 50, I finally realized what's wrong with me. I have ADHD. Okay, that person can work that out with their therapist and their partner and their life, whatever. They're adults. But we're talking about kids 6, 7 years old, 10 years old, 11 years old. And we tell them, basically, there's something wrong with you. And you got to take this external substance so that you can be whole. Well, that ain't going to go well as an adult if you always are depending on something outside of you to feel like you actually are a whole person, that you're accepted, that you can be functional. That's going to backfire and is already backfiring in our society. We see so many young adults on medications because guess what? That's a form of self-medicating. You take ADHD medication, well, now you know an external substance makes you feel better, makes you be more accepted. What are you going to try next when you're an adult in college? More Adderall? Maybe you're going to try something different because, well, you're used to an external substance making you, quote unquote, better. And that's contrary to what we hear. Oh, if you don't medicate your kids when they have ADHD, they're going to self-medicate. Yeah, some will, you know. We all do. Adults self-medicate with caffeine and marijuana and cigarettes and so forth. But it's actually the opposite. When we introduce a external substance early on that's needed to feel whole, that's going to create more self-medication interest later. Anyway, all right, enough about labels. I hope you got some value out of this. Again, check out our sponsor, Zero.co. for a pretty awesome, natural, super smooth, hyper-focus, and energy drink. Until next time, cheers.